Hello, this is Ken, your podcast preacher. Welcome back to my podcast, Deep Waters. This podcast is brought to you by Applied Strengths Ministry, where we believe working together in our strengths is the effect of working out the will and calling of God in and through our lives. The title of this message is Broken Fellowship. I recently did a shorty titled, What Do You Want? Exclamation point. Not a question, but a fist-pounding, hey, what do you want? Now, it was not at all meant to be the least bit condemning, but to stir you to ask yourself, as no one else will, and mean it, what do I want? What do I want for my relationship with God? So I feel like going into that message again, as it is a question for our generation. Wherever you are in life right now, be it in school, living with mom and dad, in college, in some strange town, at a dead-end job, unemployed, homeless, lost in purpose and life. Even for some, I know you are at the end of your rope. And I know this because I etched my name in it several times myself. When you get to the end of it, tie a knot in it and wait upon the Lord. Of course, I mean this figuratively. I don't want to be driving down the road and see you hanging on a rope, telling the gawkers, Ken told me to stay right here and tie a knot in this here rope. Nope. But on a more serious note, if you feel like putting that rope around your neck, you ought to think about where that will place you for all of eternity. Nothing is so bad on this planet as to make that mistake, and that you have to live with the consequences of that decision for all of eternity. If you are not sure I am being truthful with you, stop, pick up a Bible. I'm old-fashioned, I like turning the pages. Go somewhere quiet, of which I'm sure you're probably already in that space, and read it for yourself. Don't let a rope make the decision for you. Don't let drugs make that decision for you. Don't let a car or a gun make that decision for you. And by all means, don't, under any circumstances, allow the devil to make that decision for you. Nope. We humans don't always understand what each other is going through, but I assure you, we each have our stuff. But good on you, because Jesus went through all of what you could possibly go through, and oh, so much more. And yet I tell you, He did it for you so that you wouldn't have to. So put the rope around His neck and get on with getting on. He has it, and He has you. I see you. I really do see you. So then there you go. I didn't see that coming, and this is why I love this platform for ministry. Can you even imagine a pastor bringing up such spiritual medicine as God decided to take the pastor's original message and set it on the back burner for a minute? A message that he worked so hard on all week. And suddenly God flipped it 180. Not only that, but all this must be said before the commercial break, or before the monetizing monster shows up to squarely place itself right at the point of deliverance for some poor soul that God was speaking to. It's a mess at best. Welcome to the front line, my friends. So before I had a word for the original message, another message dropped from the plate of heaven. I got this message titled Broken Fellowship. And you have to at least wonder what on earth it means in relationship to God, right? Now, if your life is in a condition discussed above, it will be because of one of two things. Either you are not plugged in at all, meaning that you are not authentically born again, or if you were authentically born again, it may be because you have broken fellowship with God. Now, when we break fellowship with God, it is usually because we miss the if you prefaces in the statements or scriptures of God. Example, Ken. Okay, got it. So let's listen to these scriptures and see if we can hear the conditions. John 15:1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So what are the conditions? You have to be clean by the word, right? And in order for this to happen, you must not depend on the way too little amount of scripture that you might get at a church. You must read your Bible. Your spiritual life and soul depends on its very salvation, by the visible, revelatory ingestion of it. What else? You must abide. Be connected. Be talking to Him. Spend some quiet time alone with Him daily. Yes, daily. No, but I said daily. There's one more. See it? I in Him. Yes, Jesus must be in you. No Holy Spirit, no Jesus. And I know I just kicked some religious hornet's nest with that statement. But if you read your Bible, you will need the Holy Spirit to provide the revelation of what it means. No Holy Spirit, no Jesus, no God. Nothing left but your denominational, non-denominational, dry heaves religion. And that is attending church, won't necessarily get you to heaven. Stick with me long enough and you'll see it. I'm working on another message titled, The Bride of Christ is not the church as it exists. Nope, she may be in part coming out of the church scene, but she is really the authentically born-again believer who believes, which is proven by her actions, and the way she loves and serves humanity and God. It's in the Bible, my friends. Okay, so, but do you see how I did that? I pulled out the conditions that must be met in order for you to bear fruit and to have Jesus taking up residence in your very soul and heart. And of course, God is in there because Jesus is He. This is fun. Let's do another one, shall we? John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Okay, so this one should be easier, right? If anyone loves me. Wow, what a condition. So how do we love God? Let's go to John's house. I hear it is sweet as love. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. What the Shazam is all of this? You asked, how can you love God? This is it. I recommend a further study on it by you. The proof of love is in keeping his commandments, not the Ten Commandments. For if you could do that, you would be only the second person to ever do that. And Jesus was the first. But you can't. So we end with that discussion right there. Read Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7, along with John 13:34, and Mark 12:30 for some achievable commandment goals. I shall soldier on into the remainder of this original message. The last thing regarding John 14:23 is that you have to have a vacancy in order that God and Jesus can make their abode with you. In other words, you cannot have any of the gods before him. Nothing of this world can consistently occupy your heart mind other than God. Now, I have heard stories where God went a-knocking after being invited into a person's life and did some squatter evictions on his own authority. Matthew 12:29. Another one, Ken. Okay, bam, here it is. 2 Corinthians 15:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Doesn't this seem so relational? I mean, you can't sit by and watch TV while God is in you, can you? In this case, that is, if Jesus is in you, you cannot be disqualified. The way that you check is to read the Bible and find out those things that disqualify you. A Jesus vacancy will do it. Timmy and Peter have some things to share on that account. John in 1 and 2 John explains that there are other reasons as to why things may be keeping you from remaining to be, or acting like you are plugged in as well. So the key word here is faith. Look, listen, and check it out. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, so you must believe that he is. If there is any fear, doubt, and unbelief, bink, disqualified. Heaven and hell are in tension based on your position to the statement. And so, but then it follows suit that you must then also believe. that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yeah, leave it to God to leave you the answer to your problem in the same breath. What's the reward if you diligently seek him? Context, right? Faith is our context. And it takes it to believe that God is real. But then if you don't have any, then begin to seek him and he will reveal himself. And when he does, then you will believe that he is. And then when you believe that he is, you will then have examined yourself and have discovered that you have passed the test. Now some of you might say, duh, Ken, of course. But I would then refer you to ask this question. If it is a duh moment, why is this scripture in the Bible? Let's hear it again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Remember, if your fellowship with God is broken, then when you test yourself and examine yourself, you are looking for the cause. This is one potential cause. And if it is, you now have a solution to restore your relationship with God, or to begin it for the first time. It's a win-win. Now let's hang with faith for a few minutes, as there are other ways to see if you are in faith. Faith and belief go hand in hand, see? Either one, without action, is not really faith or belief. You can tell everyone that you believe in God, and if it ends right there, you're doomed. Listen to this, and yes, this is probably a diversion, but a necessary one. And we are seeking to resolve why you broke fellowship with God, remember? If you worry, you can do so to the point of decreasing your faith to failure. Matthew 6:30, 8:26, 14:31, 16:8, 17:17, and 23:23. Look at the triggers for that reduced faith. Food, clothing, shelter, not believing in God or his power over everything, not operating in the supernatural, as we are called to do. Oh, there's so much more, but I leave it to you to study out the faith scriptures and see how important it is that we walk by faith, trusting not in our sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now, I just peeked at Matthew when finding the faith flaws of those who have gone before us. I will stay in Matthew to also show you what happens when our faith has feet. Healings, signs, and wonders occur. Faith activated Jesus and pulled on his anointing, which is to preach the power gospel, which is so rare these days. Yep, read the following scriptures and be encouraged that all things are possible for those who believe. Matthew 19:23, Matthew 8:10, 9:2, 9:22, 9:29, 15:28, 25:21, and 25:23. Okay, so a couple of things here. Look at what Jesus states in Matthew 9:2. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Yes, if you have faith, it will be visible to God and to those who are watching you operate in it. Well, for some, not all can see it and are waiting to see the evidence of your faith, which on their part is not faith. But on yours, it is. Now, but I also want you to see the relationship between belief and faith. Listen to our friend Matthew again. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now take that scripture and apply it to whatever you're going through right now in life. And see if you can't bring a change in it by simply believing in it. The disciples were presented with the opportunity to bind up in all kinds of manner and cast out, like Barry Bonds' home run, the devil, which was causing a boy to have epileptic seizures. Now, yes, and unfortunately way too many of us will dial 911 before ever thinking that this is a moment for our faith to call Jesus to attention and have him send down the chains to bind up this devil. Yep, nope. We would call the Ghostbusters before attempting this ourselves. Had it not been for Jesus being right there, the boy would have remained in a lifetime of seizures. Now, how awful is it for those who are bound up by the devil to be left bound up by the devil because we do not understand that Christ is in us. Jesus is in us. God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. There is no more need, or possibly room, for any other thing to be in us to stop time itself, yet alone call that demon to task and evict him with and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yea, nay, what? Look up the scriptures that I have provided, and see if you don't then go outside to see whom you can set free in Jesus' name. You will never look at the sick the same way ever again. Pray first, then call 911. You know, to confirm that a miracle has taken place. It's always good to get confirmation. Luke 13:16. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Freedom for your co-workers and neighbors, for the grocery store person or mailman, to the teacher or our politicians. Freedom rests inside of us, exists in us, and is designed to be dispensed by us and through us in the power of the Holy Spirit, who is activated by belief and faith, be it ours or another's. So Ken, is this all that can get in the way of our breaking fellowship with God? Well, of course not. The sensitivity to which you have towards God determines how easy or difficult it is to break that fellowship. If you are a mother or father of the church who can tolerate eating the meat of the word, then it may become very easy to break that fellowship because the expectations for you in your walk with God, step in step, is high, and that standard is established by Him. But also in the same vein, it is also easier for you to do what is necessary to reestablish that connection, because you are more sensitive to His presence. You're also more sensitive to it when He's not present in your situation. So we cannot go over everything that could cause a disconnect, but we can finish with one last thing for the sake of this message that will no doubt help. Sin is a deal breaker. You can lose your salvation. And if you visit Timothy, Peter, and John's place, you will hear them tell you how that's possible. Even Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1 and 2, can help. But what are we talking about here? It is your sinning, and then not cleaning up your mess. Sometimes you are aware of the sin, but refuse to do anything about it. Other times, you may not be aware, and so you need to go before the Lord and ask Him what is wrong, so that you can clean it up. For the spiritually mature person, it may not even be a sin that causes a fracture, but something that God has informed you of personally to not get involved with, to not allow to get in between you and Him. Well, I hope this is helpful and that it is restorative to your spirit. Well, that's it for today. I have a little update. We now have thousands of listeners in over 23 countries and territories, and in over 121 cities across America. What you can do to help is to get the message out by sharing the following links. Listen, it all goes to Jesus, and the labor is for the Father. But Jesus has asked us to partner with Him. You can do your small part and add it to my small part, and we can start an evival of epic proportion. I mean, if I'm going to be a part of a move of God, I want it to be epic. My YouTube handle is @podcastpreacher. My website is appliedstrengthsministry.org. My email is podcastpreacher@appliedstrengthsministry.com. Remember, it's not what you find wrong or disagree with regarding these messages, but what you can take away from it. Together we can do more to impact the kingdom than if we work alone. Let's flip the script and kill, steal, and destroy the works of the enemy and create space for the light of life to shine through into people's lives. Plant a seed and click on the like and subscribe button. Let's build this ministry together. Let's finish this work in our generation. Thanks and see you next time in Deep Waters.